Philip II of Macedonia. Philip's actions, 354 to 353 BCE. The events of the years after the fall of Methone in 354 are poorly covered by various sources, so the chronology is unclear even for major events. Quite often we do not know what Philip was doing at any one time. At best we tend to hear about the highlights, usually based on their significance to Athens. Such accounts give no real idea of how much time Philip spent in administration, hearing petitions, making rulings, and all the dull routine of government. They also display little interest in his dealings with the Thracians and Illyrians and other northern neighbors, even though Philip spent a lot of his time negotiating with or fighting against the leaders of these people. As the Macedonian kingdom expanded, so did Philip's commitments, which meant that he had to manage his affairs in several areas during the same year. Although at times he concentrated a large part of his total military strength into a single army, more often his soldiers were split into several different commands, whether led by the king or trusted subordinates such as Parmenio. Thus, some campaigning seasons saw wide-ranging activity that would have been complicated to recount, even if our sources had possessed the interest. Nothing definite is known of Philip's actions for the remaining of 354 BCE. Since we do not know at what point during the siege of Methone he was wounded, we have no idea of whether he was still convalescing for much of the year. Diodorus Siculus followed his description of the fall of the city by saying the king then subdued Pagasae. The most natural reading is to see this as happening at the same year. Pagasae was the port of Pherae, the rival city of Larissa in Thessaly, and formerly the home of tyrants like Jason and Alexander. So it is possible that Philip led a force in the Thessaly in 354 BCE, continuing the long-standing alliance of the Argeds with Larissa. But there is no hint of this intervention by any other source, since we know that from 353 BC onward, Philip was heavily involved in Thessaly, and at some point he captured Pagasae. Some have concluded that Diodorus was anticipating events. Others argue that the text is corrupt and he was speaking of another city altogether, an unidentified Pagas or Pagae, perhaps somewhere along the Thracian coast. None of these interpretations is implausible in itself. As we have seen, Thessalian and Macedonian affairs have long been deeply intertwined, with frequent military interventions in both directions by whoever happened to be the strongest neighbor at the time. Demosthenes tells us that Pagasae fell to Philip before help sent from Athens reached the beleaguered city, but gives no more detail about when this occurred. Otherwise, he and our remaining sources show almost a little interest in Thessaly as they do in Thrace and Illyria. Although definitely Greek, the Thessalians did not fully conform to the ideals and political habits of Athenians and other southerners. The Apompus of Chios, writing in later 4th century BCE, was characteristically scornful of the aristocrats who dominated Thessaly, claiming that they while away their lives in the presence of dancing girls and flute girls. Some waste their days at dice, drinking, and similar incontinence. They are more concerned to furnish themselves with a table full of every delicacy than to have their own lives well ordered. End of quote. For all his admiration of Philip's achievements, Theopompus had similarly jaundiced view of the king and his companions' habits, and while he may have exaggerated, but did not wholly invent, later shared a fondness for raucous feasting and drinking, helping to bond many Thessalian noblemen with Macedonia and its monarch. Quite a few ended up amongst the ranks of the companions. A fondness for parties went alongside a fondness for war and conflict for Macedonians and Thessalians alike, and the one common thread running through their recent history of Thessaly was almost constant power struggles within and between cities. Conflict between Pherae and Larissa was more likely than not in 354 BCE, and Philip might have been asked to intervene. We just can't be sure. Either way, Philip was in Thrace early in the campaigning season of 353 BCE, attacking the Greek coastal cities of Maronea and Abdera, and pushing towards the Gallipoli Peninsula and the Dardanelles Strait. In this area was Pamenes, the man in whose house he had lived during his captivity in Thebes. The Theban was the head of 5,000 mercenary hoplites on their way to aid the satrap in Asia Minor who had rebelled against the Persian king. Although no one specifically mentions the agreement, Thebes must have arranged with Philip for these men to march through Macedonia to get this far, and there may have been a formal alliance between the king and the Thebans. In fact, Philip went further, assisting Parmenes by negotiating with the Thracian leader, Christoplepthes, so that the Hoplites could continue on their journey unmolested. The presence of these mercenaries, as well as his own Macedonian troops, meant that the talks were backed up by threat of considerable force, and they were able to defy another Thracian ruler who was hostile. Parmenes crossed the Dardanelles and for a while served the satrap well, until doubts were raised about his loyalty and he and his men were sent home. A few years later, the Thebans hired out another mercenary contingent, this time to fight on behalf of the Persian king, against the rebels in Egypt. In the meantime, Philip had received a desperate appeal from Larissa for aid against Pherae and decided to answer it. This was no easy matter, for he had some 500 miles away, which in itself an indication of just how far his kingdom and his commitments had grown since he came to power. The quickest way was by sea, with transport ships guarded by a small navy. But an Athenian squadron, led by Chares, was near Neapolis, waiting to intercept. Philip chose his four fastest vessels and gave them strong crews, all of his best sailors and oarsmen. He then set them on ahead, with orders to sail closer than usual to the shore by Neapolis. Chares took the bait, led his triremes in the chase until they were far out to sea. Seizing the moment, Philip and the rest of his fleet went through. By the time the Athenians realized they couldn't catch the fast ships, they were a long way out to sea and unable to turn back and attack Philip and the other Macedonians. The Athenians had missed the chance to not only inflict a severe defeat on Philip, and perhaps even kill or capture the king himself. Yet this was not the primary reason why Chares had been sent to the region. In the rest of the year, he operated with great success on and around the Gallipolian Peninsula. He captured Sestis, a Greek city, massacring the defenders and selling the surviving women and children as slaves. In due course, they were replaced by Athenian settlers. Chares then brought the peninsula firmly back under Athenian control, forcing Serevoptes to accept this reality. At some point, he defeated a force of mercenaries in Philip's Bay and commanded by a man named Idaeus, which means the cockerel. So for a moment, Philip has other priorities, and he's going to end up having to lead an army in the Thessaly. Now the sources for this, The Politics by Aristotle, The Histories by Herodotus, Histories, 12 volumes, by Diodorus Siculus, Peloponnesian War by Thucydides, and The Lives by Plutarch, Philip and Alexander, Kings and Conquerors by Goldsworthy, History of Macedonia, Volume 1 and Volume 2 by Hammond, In the Shadow of Olympus, The Emergence of Macedonia by Borgia. So I hope you enjoyed that. And as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.